listening to Tranquil Chick, December 19th, 2005. Greetings, this is Kimberly Wilson, and welcome to the 12th edition of the Hip Tranquil Chick podcast, which is a girl's guide for living a luxe lifestyle on and off the yoga mat. Today I'm on location in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. Today's podcast is an interview with Susan Turnock, who, at the ripe young age of 24, founded What Fun, a company that specializes in creating innovative bath products. Now, 7 years later, 400,000 soap rolls have been produced and have been featured in more than 60 national magazines, newspapers, and TV shows, including QVC. Susan recently co-founded Itsy Bitsy and Bold with her sister, creating empowering goods that encourage kids to be creative, confident, and powerful. During this podcast, we're discussing what being a hip tranquil chick in business is all about. Learn more about her at whatfun.com and itsybitsyandbold.com. Now, as always, we've got the pose of the podcast and more fabulous pod-safe music. So stay tuned and view our show notes at hiptranquilchick.blogspot.com. So I'm here with Susan Turnock, and we're going to be discussing and focusing today on creating a business and how, as a hip tranquil chick, you can stay fresh and in balance with a business. So welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Kimberly.
So you're about to launch your second business at the age of 31. Can you tell me a little bit about the creative process involved in actually launching this business along with your first one?
Well, actually, when I started the first business, it was just an idea that popped into my head, and I decided to run with it. And I went to the bookstore and got all the books I could about making soap in that case. And I taught myself how to make it, and I went from there. It really wasn't a planned business like this one was. This business I actually started with my sister about a year ago, and we came up with the idea. And over the year, we've really honed those ideas. Instead of just jumping into it like I did with the soap, we really wanted to come out with a really great product first and make sure that it was really what we wanted to do. So the creative process on this approach was a little bit different in that we found what we really needed, what was a niche in the marketplace that was missing. Mm-hmm. And then we tested it. We had a lot of really great friends that read a lot of emails and looked at a lot of test runs and gave us feedback. And from there, we honed it even more until our final product, what we just launched 2 weeks ago.
Right, yes. And Stoney, so tell us a little bit about this. So it's Itsy Bitsy and Bold, and
that's
it's right. T-shirts that empower children to think big and bold.
Exactly. We actually came up with that because we were driving in the car Thanksgiving weekend last year, and my sister was talking about how she wanted to empower her children to be anything they wanted to be. And we were trying to think of, like, what the wonderful things that kids could actually be. And we both said that we thought that was something missing in the marketplace, was something
right.
that was really positive.
Mm-hmm.
Not just funny, but really good messages. And mm-hmm. so we wanted to put something out there that was really positive.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us a few of your designs now. I know that we, whenever I met with you about a year ago now, there was a list of maybe 35 to 50
right.
ideas, like
right.
future tree hugger. I mean, a huge gamut. Mm-hmm. And then you've been really good over the past year of narrowing it down and mm-hmm. figuring out what is the message you really want to get across. And you've got I Color Outside the Lines.
Right. I Will Color Outside the Lines. The second one is Glass Ceiling Breaker.
Which is great.
Thank you. And the third one is I Am Loved.
Right.
And I thought that it was interesting that there are three different sayings. It's not just all in one theme. And two of them are unisex, where a boy or girl, but then we thought Glass Ceiling Breaker was so strong that we had to go with our female empowerment.
Absolutely.
And do that. We also have the little hats that say thinking cap and meditating.
Yeah. Yeah. What's been your biggest seller so far this season?
So far, it's hands down, I Will Color Outside the Lines.
Oh, good.
And I think that it's actually because everybody really relates to that.
Yeah.
Everyone that has seen it has said, oh, I love that saying. I always say that to my kids. It's something that's really relatable, and I think that's why it's done so well.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a very nice message,
And as you said, of allowing children to really think that they can do anything they want to do. Because how many of us were really raised that way?
Right.
And can you imagine if we were all raised to the point where you're giving the encouragement to actually color outside the lines, to be itsy bitsy and bold, and to really dare and to think differently. And how, if that was encouraged, how different we would be.
That's actually why my sister and I came up with that, was because that's how we were raised. It was very creative. You can do anything you want. Nothing is, you know, out of your reach. And that's actually why we started this. It was because we wanted to pass that along, and we wanted to give back. You know, these are the things that made us who we are. We wanted to give that back to other kids.
Yeah, I think that's huge, because I think very few people are honestly raised that way. Mm-hmm. You know, having grown up in the Midwest, it's to be different or to be outside the box is really not encouraged. And then, of course, in various industries, that's not encouraged. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness we're in a creative environment.
Absolutely.
Where I think that coloring outside the lines helps set us apart.
Right.
And helps us to thrive.
And made us both business owners and empowered women.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, it's, to me, I think creating a business is all about serving. Like I've read that a lot recently, and I really believe that it, no matter what your business is, I mean, I think businesses run the gamut, where ideally if we're here to serve, even if you don't have a business, even if that's just like whatever you do in life, if you can think of waking up every day and thinking, how can I serve? How can I make a difference today? Mm-hmm. And so how do you feel that your business, especially like the soap rolls, mm-hmm. like how does that serve? And how, clearly we've already discussed how beautifully the empowering t-shirt messages serve.
Right. Well, there's the saying that's leave the world a little bit better than you found it. And I love that. I think if you can, even if it's, I know it sounds really silly for soap because it's soap, but you know what, it is something that puts a smile on your face, or it makes, it brings the level of art in your bathroom up a little bit. I know it sounds crazy, but if you leave things a little bit better and a little bit more design-oriented, then you've done something good. That's how I like to think about it.
And I think we should clarify how special your soaps are. They're soap rolls, they're cylinder, they're made with essential oils.
Right.
They smell divine.
Thank
glycerin.
You. And they're actually shaped like candy sticks. Mm-hmm. So you roll them between your hands, and it's actually a more functional way to wash. But I think design is always at the top of my list. Things have to look good. And being a graphic designer, and that's what I got my college degree in, design is always important. So if I can leave something looking a little bit better, it's a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are. They are very fun. And your first company's name is What Fun.
That's right.
So now how do you find balance between work and play, especially because you're mainly, you're a home-based business. Mm-hmm. So how do you find that? I know whenever I first met you at a women's business conference maybe three years ago, you know, you said, well, I know that people say you should just close your door, because at that time I was mainly, my office was at home, and it was close your door, you know, in the evenings, and then you just, then that's your barrier from work and play.
Right.
But I don't know that I've ever been able to really do that. And I'm wondering if you...
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And that's actually why I said that, was because people will give you advice like, close your door at 6 p.m. And don't answer emails. Well, you know what? If I'm the only one doing it, it's got to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So if it means a couple late nights, that's fine. As far as balance...
Right.
As far as balance between working at home and having other personal things happen, I basically just go with the flow. If I find that I need to run some personal errands during the day, I don't beat myself up with it, you know, about it. I just do what I need to do, and I know I'm going to pull late nights or do whatever it is to get those orders out. So I try not to be hard on myself. If I need to do personal things, I do it.
During the quote-unquote work day.
Right.
Yeah.
What I like to do is keep the same hours that my husband does, because that keeps it normal for me. Some days it doesn't quite happen, but that's okay. It just depends on the time of year and if we get a big order in. And you have to make hay while the sun shines. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then do you take 2 days off, I guess, if you're trying to work with your husband's schedule, who I know he also works a lot, though.
Right.
But do you try to take Saturday and Sunday and the weeknights off?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And like I said, it really varies. You know, if it's a busy holiday season and I have to get stuff out, it's no big deal. But I do try and take my weekends. In the beginning, I didn't.
Right.
And I worked straight through. That doesn't mean that I don't check my email or fill a couple orders over the weekend when my husband is out working in the yard and I don't want to be doing that.
Right.
But I do try and keep regular hours just to keep sane. But like I said, you have to do what you have to do to get orders out or finish a job. And that's what it takes.
Absolutely. And I think whenever you first are starting a business, and we've talked about the differences between your first business and your second business, how the first one, you just kind of leap head first. And you're like, okay, I want to make soaps. You figure out what to do, you just start doing it. Whereas this one, you're a lot more strategic about it. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, as business owners, when we first start, you know, I'm in my sixth year of business. And, you know, many of my first few years, they were, you know, 15 to 17 hour days. Mm-hmm. Now they are shorter days. But it's never ending. You know, it really is never ending. I eat, sleep, and breathe. Tranquil Space or the creation of it or working on various aspects of it. And I think that that is, I think it's a sickness, but I think it's also very positive. But I think, you know, it is, it's like a baby. Right. And it's, you know, there's a lot of bread and water and, you know, that needs to be given to the babies.
Right.
But it's also, how do you make sure that you stay a sane hip Tranquil Chick and also a balanced hip Tranquil Chick?
Absolutely. And I think there's, we both chose this because it's our passion.
Right.
And I think, you know what, it's okay if these two businesses are now my life. You know, obviously I do have a life outside. I'm married and I have a dog.
Yes, who we see. That's Chester in the back. Lovely golden retriever.
He likes to be heard. But I think it's okay that it is my life because I enjoy it.
Right.
And if it ever got to the point where it made me miserable and I didn't enjoy what I did, then I would change it. But right now I love that it's what I eat, sleep, and breathe a lot of the time. And I'm okay giving my life to it.
Right. And how fabulous is it that that you've been able to create, say, you know, like you've created your own monster, you know, but you've been able to create the life that you want. Granted, it's not always sunshine and daisies. There's always, with running a business, there's so many aspects and a heartache and, you know, and you're often very alone in it because you're the creator of it. But how fabulous is it that you've been able to kind of carve your path and you get up and you wake up and you go into your cute little office that you've done so well with great paint colors and everything to truly make it so fun and colorful and creative and encouraging. But like, that's so different than say if you had chosen the graphic design path, which, you know, however, that is a very creative aspect. But if you were in a corporate environment,
answering to somebody else,
you know, answering to somebody else, there's something wrong with answering to somebody else. But the beauty is to be able to really create and carve out something that speaks to your heart.
Right. And that's what I love about it, is that I get to decide where this company goes. And I'm the only one that answers to that.
Yeah.
If I make a decision, it's solely my decision. I mean, granted, I will ask friends and my husband and family and things like that. But I make that final decision. And if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. And then if I'm, you know, I want to take a leap and take a risk and try something new, I do it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't think I could have gotten by having a desk job. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I needed to be able to, I'm quite a control freak.
Yeah.
I needed to be able to do exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good personality trait in this one instance.
Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, you have to be.
Right.
You know, you can't be terribly wishy-washy or you won't get past the idea phase.
Right. And you have to enjoy doing all aspects.
Oh, my God, yes.
Email and shipping and answering to everything and PR.
Yes.
We're doing all of that.
Yep. All the various aspects. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Now, what all has gone into your new launch? Okay, we had to choose the names of the t-shirts, of course.
Right. We actually, it was fun doing something different than the soap, where, like you touched on before, I was very naive when I did the soap, where I came up with the idea and then, oh yeah, I need a catalog. Oh, I need a trade show. Oh, I need to find this and that. This, I knew exactly what was going to be entailed in starting this line. But it was interesting to do something different, like shirts, where I had to find a manufacturer, label manufacturer, design a logo, have that sewn in, pretty much teach myself about this entirely new industry, which was really fun for me.
Yeah.
It's neat to write about, you know, because we do write our own copy. It's neat to write about something different than soap.
Right.
So from there, we had to come up with the designs, pick sizes that we thought would be sellable, colors and hats and things like that. That was really fun for me to mm-hmm. do something different. And then as well, do the brochure and do mailings and e-newsletters. It was all things that I hadn't known about the last time I started this business. But this time I was very prepared, and it was a little bit more daunting because I did know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, it actually went very smoothly.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you were so organized about it. You had your little book, mm-hmm. you know, that you'd always bring to our meetings, your little notebook with everything in it. It's great. Right. I mean, right. It's like just approaching it very strategically.
Right.
Now, how do you stay motivated and keep fresh? Like, what are some of your secrets?
One of my secrets is to have really great friends like you, actually.
Thank you.
I'm not just saying that, actually. You keep me very motivated, and that's why I love our meetings that we started 3 years ago, I guess,
yeah.
is because that once a month is a really good time for me to think about somebody else's business besides my own, share ideas, share resources, get really great feedback from you, because sometimes I'm way too close to the situation to make a good call on it. And actually to get that motivation from other people of,
yeah.
you know, you should really start this, or, you know, maybe you should think about this a little bit more. So that's my biggest secret, actually, is to surround yourself with really great people that are very motivating. My second thing would be to read a lot of really good books. I read a lot of marketing books. Mm-hmm. As my book club can tell you, I never read the book that is for that month. I usually read a marketing book that nobody else has interest in.
Yeah.
But that's how I come up with good ideas, or it makes me think about different things that I hadn't thought about. I always read magazines. I'm a magazine.
You're a total magazine junkie.
I am. I've actually cut back on my habit, but but that's how I stay fresh, is just by keeping interesting things around me and always thinking outside the box and, you know, never settling.
Right.
You know, always trying to do something a little bit different, just to stay fresh.
Well, I found one challenge in business between staying fresh and stagnating isn't the right word, but maybe content,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, and I wonder if you find this, I would assume that many business people do. It's like, do you pass up an opportunity because there's so many opportunities,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, and you see, oh, well, you know, I'm always giving you ideas. Oh, you should do this. Why don't you try this? Right. Why don't you open up a gift shop? You totally should have a gift shop. You know, and you're like, thank God. Like, you know how to stay focused. But the thing about it is if you were leaping in all these things, you could probably like grow in different directions, but you get really burnt out. So it's
right.
like, how do you determine what is worth, you know, like, why did you choose 3 t-shirts over 20 to start with?
Right.
You know, I think it's a similar thing of, kind of honing in your energy, your resources, figuring mm-hmm. out what you really enjoy doing mm-hmm. and then making sure that you can go forward with that. Well,
right. It's actually a funny thing is that I've always said that what fun has been my longest job I've ever had. So In the 7 years that it's been in business, there was a lot of opportunity to branch out into other products, but that wouldn't have been as innovative for me, that I thought it might have weakened the line by doing something that everybody else is doing or just spreading myself too thin. And so my answer always was to that was, let me stick with what I am very passionate about, that I feel like these soaps are great and that it's a good product. Rather than spreading myself too thin, let me just focus on this. And that was really hard for me because I'm always coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
Every day I have something that I think is going to be the next best thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. You have to stay focused. And the funny thing is that out of all the ideas that my sister and I have honed over the last 7 years, this one, for some reason, we just couldn't get away from. We kept talking about it and we let it go for a couple months. But then one of us would say something about it, and we'd say, yeah, we need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those reoccurring themes. And when you find something that keeps coming up and you still can't get out of your head, it's probably something good to follow. And I think following your gut is very big in this whole business or industry or anything. It's just going with what you really believe is going to be good.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point. The challenge is, though, whenever you are a creative being and you think so many mm-hmm. things could be really mm-hmm. good, mm-hmm. of where do you put your energy? And as you said, so you don't dilute, so you didn't dilute the soaps.
Exactly.
You know, but then it's like interesting to see because so many people, when they start with one product, they'll come up with other things that are similar in nature mm-hmm. or complementary.
Right.
And then, but sometimes people come up with something and you're like, wow, that makes no sense how the two relate.
Or that's not such a great product, and that kind of washes out the others, I think. I think it brings down the whole line. That's why I've kept with the soaps and the fizzes. I just wanted to stay clear on my vision.
Right. Yeah, you've always been so great about that whenever I've given you new things to do. You're like, no, I'm gonna stick with the soap and just focus on the soaps for now. So, final two questions, moving along the lines of like how we can help other Hip Twinkle Chicks really in serving and creating a business, and remembering that a business, it doesn't even have to be a for-profit. If you want to support yourself, that's helpful.
Right.
But, even as a nonprofit, where you can get funding, but where, other people who really want to serve in this way, and what I think is a very challenging but yet rewarding way, is what words of wisdom would you share with these fellow creative aspiring entrepreneurs?
I would say number one is be clear about what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of women contact me and say, I have this job and I want to start my own business, but I'm not sure what to do. And I always ask them, what are you passionate about? And granted, maybe it's shopping. I don't know. Whatever it is, you can always turn that into something that you want to do. Just try and think creatively about it. But whenever you start a business, you have to know that that's going to be your life for at least a small period of time, that you're going to have to eat, sleep, and breathe that 24/7 is this one thing. So you better like it.
Right.
And that's when I started the soaps. It was something that was really intriguing to me, was this industry that it was just starting out. It was just starting to peak, actually, was when I got into the soap business. And it was mostly candles. And then it became personal care. And I just thought it was a really great industry to be in. And so, when I was pulling those all-nighters and doing all that hard work, it was okay because I was still really passionate about
it.
So that's my number one advice, is just be clear about what you want and what you want out of it, actually. I think it's very important.
Yeah. And I always like to encourage people too. I spoke at the National Women's Business Conference in June, and the focus was on leaving a legacy. And I encouraged people, and I always try to tell other entrepreneurial folks this, women or men, is that sometimes you go into business, say it's, baking pies. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to bake pies forever, because you may decide, I would like to also start a product associated with a pie, such as like pie baking kit, and sell that on your website, and then like t-shirts that have a cute slogan that go along with it. So it's to realize it, because I think initially when you stray away from what you started, see, with me, like I was simply a yoga teacher. I mean, that's what I wanted. But then whenever I started doing like other things, like say yoga workshops or retreats, they're all related to yoga. But then if you start a yoga clothing line, yeah, it's still related to yoga, but it's clothing.
Right.
Or like a book, it's related to yoga, but it's a book on the lifestyle of yoga. And it's like, how can they all relate so that you're not pinned into, I'm only a yoga teacher.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with just being a yoga teacher or a soap maker.
Right.
And not that you were making soaps at that point, you were having them distributed, shipped out. But it's, it's like to realize that you, as a creative person, entrepreneur, and creator of business, you can continue to kind of go into these different segments, and sometimes they can be completely unrelated.
Absolutely. Like t-shirts.
T-shirts and soap. Right. Yeah, I feel like they're all about this like fun kind of product that helps serve other people.
Exactly. That's the thing that ties it together. But you're right. I think that you have to be aware that you can still branch out and you can do other things and you can start another part of the business that's related, but maybe not so, just so you can keep fresh and keep doing what you really want to do.
Right.
But that's a really good point.
Yeah, so like truly leaving a legacy through the various aspects of your business, which may totally evolve.
Right.
Totally evolve.
Absolutely.
So the last thought is, do you have any resources that you would recommend? They can be anything from like books to CDs. You're a great recommender of good books.
Okay. Well, great. Now I have to come up with some really
good
ones.
And then self-care ideas, like anything. Like what are your huge, like, the main things that you would recommend?
Okay. A couple books. Good to Great.
Oh, right.
It's a fabulous book. There's another book by Guy Kawasaki that I'm not going to be able to remember the title of. But I can get it to you and you can put it up.
Okay.
It's a great book. The Good Girl's Guide to Negotiating.
Yes.
I love.
What's the main thing you got out of that?
That you don't have to cave. And that's what they were saying, that women normally feel like they have to give up something in the negotiation because we're usually nice and we want to make everybody happy. That's That's usually a female trait. And I'm not, you know, being chauvinistic about that. But,
right.
And that's who I am. I always want to make people happy and be nice. And I'm always giving more in the negotiation. And that was the big thing, was that you don't have to cave. Both people can actually be happy with the negotiation, mm-hmm. which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
The other books I loved was Evolution.
Oh, right.
The Popcorn Report. The Tipping Point is my absolute favorite. And Blink was actually the follow-up to The Tipping Point, but Tipping Point I loved. So
yeah.
Let's see, magazines. I love Pink magazine, which you actually turned me on to.
Yeah, Pink is great.
But actually any magazine, I feel like anybody can get anything out of any magazine, even if it's not your industry, if it's not your hobby, not your interest, there's always going to be something that's interesting or that you can add to your life through any magazine. I really feel that way.
What about favorite self-care practices? Resources, you know, like say whenever you have had one of those bad days, or whenever you came back from a trade show and it was a lot of work and not as successful as you would have liked. Like, how do you take care of yourself?
Manicures and pedicures.
Yeah.
I really feel like they are so healing. And I don't mean the pun there on healing.
Right.
But seriously, I really feel like that. I feel like a new person anytime I get a manicure or pedicure. And it's so silly, but it's really refreshing. I love Decadent bath care products.
Yes.
As I know you do too.
Right.
But really great lotions and bath bombs and bubble baths. I think, you know what, go all out. Most of these items are very low priced. Just treat yourself and be decadent and use it as much as you can.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, perfect. Well, and the only other, I'm trying to think of other recommended resources that may come to mind. And I think I've mentioned them in previous podcasts of business books, but definitely The E-Myth.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and he just came out with a sequel, which is huge. It's like maybe 2 inches thick, and it's called The E-Myth Mastery. That came out in January, I think, of 2005, earlier this year, and it's really, really good.
I love The E-Myth.
He's so phenomenal. And the other book is the one that you and I have talked about that I think is real cute. It's like The Girl's Guide to Starting Your Own Business. It's nice and basic.
There's also, and I think we shared this, was Guerrilla Trade Show Selling. And I don't know if most people would enjoy that, but if you're going to a trade show, absolutely pick that up. Because I thought there were some really great, interesting tips about being at a trade show or exhibiting at a trade show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was very helpful for me when I first started those this year. And there's one more by, I think her name's Robin Fisher, but it's How to Make a Name for Yourself. Yeah. I got that for you, I think, for Christmas a couple years
ago.
Did you? Yeah.
I know I have it. I didn't know that
I sent it to you. But that's a great book. You know, all about creating your business as a brand, yourself as a brand. So great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your inspiration with the two businesses at the age of 31. And thank you again for.
Oh, I love talking to you. Thank
you. Absolutely. Today's pose of the podcast is Shavasana relaxation. This is a pose that students seem to just wait for at the end of class, and I wholeheartedly agree. Whenever teachers say, okay, time for Shavasana, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like all your hard work is paid off, and you get to just rest and lie there and absorb the benefits. So considering this week will be so harried for many hip tranquil chicks, dealing with prep for the holidays, dealing with family, dealing with travel, I figured that we needed to throw in a little Shavasana, a little relaxation into our lives. So to begin in Shavasana, just come onto your backs, relax. You can do it on your bedroom floor, in your bed, in the living room in front of the fireplace, taking a little breathing break from the family. So really, the key tool here is to simply come to a comfortable pose, flat on your back, let the feet comfortably open, and splay out to the sides. Turn the palms of the hands to face up. Now, if you have tight shoulders, that may be a little tricky, but I love having palms of the hands to face up because it's as if you're really receptive and open, receiving the benefits and gifts of your practice or just opening up to what is. And allow the eyes to close. If you have an eye pillow nearby, that's a lovely touch.
And just let yourself melt, melting into the mat, melting into the floor, melting into the bed. And notice where you're gripping or holding on to parts of your body. Oftentimes, it can be the jaw, the space between the eyebrows. So lying here, let a wave of relaxation travel from the soles of the feet up into the crown of the head, letting feet splay open, knees, shins, upper legs relaxing, hips softening, belly breath gently coming in and out, fingers softening, arms, shoulders dropping, heart center opening, facial muscles relaxing. And just mentally picture a broom sweeping away any tension that you're holding on to. And focus on your breath. Shavasana. Stay here as long as you'd like, 1 minute to 30. You really can't overdo Shavasana. So share your thoughts with me at Kimberly@TranquilSpace.com. And thanks for those of you who sent some ideas on show ideas last week. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely put one together, Yoga for Newbies. And I really love hearing from you. So please keep those emails coming. Now visit TranquilSpace.com and HitTranquilCheck.com for additional sources of inspiration. And to close out today's show, we're playing PodSafe Music, which is new and independent artists who are sharing their music through podcasting. Today's selection, which is perfect for Shavasana, is Stylus by Alan Meekin. You can learn more about this week's featured artist, including how to get more of their music, in the show notes, which, of course, are hiptranquilchick.blogspot.com. Thanks, as always, for joining me for the 12th edition of the Hip Tranquil Chick podcast. Namaste and happy holidays.
One time, 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 one time,